Ramsey TV.
In the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the Apostle John is describing figuratively real things. Did you get that? He is describing figuratively. He is using figurative language to describe real things, real happenings, real events. Yes, real. The great white throne is real. Today I'm going to tell you just how real it is. This is Martin Zunder. I have been called the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, and that's for a reason. That's for a reason. Very good reason for that. Because I am the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, broadcasting to you today, as most days, from my kitchen studio in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, otherwise known as the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. Who is at the Great White Throne? Who will be judged there, and who will be the judges? If you see the title of this show, you'll get a little bit of a clue. Here we go. Revelation, otherwise known as the unveiling of Jesus Christ, chapter 1, should I say, chapter 20, verse 11. And I perceived a great white throne, and him who is sitting upon it, from whose face earth and heaven fled, and no place was found for them. Great white throne. Is there a literal chair that is ornate and has a very soft cushion on it with maybe frillies hanging down from the seat? In other words, is there a literal throne? Well, let me read this again. I perceived a great white throne. John saw a great white throne. He saw a throne. He saw what I just described. And the color of it was, guess what? Guess what the color of it was as John's looking at it? Well, him, the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, is white. But John also saw this 10-headed monster. He also saw 7 lampstands. He also saw 7 stars. And God explained to him what these things were. Well, the 7 lampstands that you saw are 7 ecclesias. Yeah. The 7 stars are 7 messengers. So when God explains something in the unveiling, I did a whole series on the unveiling. There's only 800 parts. If you start now, maybe you can get through them by the time the actual tribulation starts. But I doubt it. You'd have to binge watch for sure. So when you don't explain God's explanations. When God explains, you don't explain God's explanations. The 10 mountains you saw are 10 kings. John sees 10 mountains. What are these mountains? I see Mount Everest. I see K2. I see Mount Whitney over there, and there's McKinley. Those are 10 kings. Oh, okay. Got it. 10 kings. So there is a power seat. There is a great, and white stands for righteousness, throne that is rulership, and him who is sitting on it. I believe here it's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Is he literally sitting down? It could actually be a white throne, but I'm thinking that's figurative language. But it's figurative language for a very real thing, and that is judgment. The judgment is real. The event is real. The dead being raised is real. It's all freaking as real as can be. Now, we in the body of Christ, we don't come into judgment. We don't come into judgment because God has given us the faith to believe that have been made righteous. We've already been judged. And our judgment came to Christ. We were judged through Christ. Sin and death were judged. Put upon Christ, and Christ raised victorious. We are in Christ. We're identified with Christ in his crucifixion, his entombment, and his resurrection. So we don't come into judgment at all. We stand before the dais of Christ, mistranslated the judgment seat of Christ by the ridiculous King James Version. Somebody's watching this channel who thinks that the King James Version is the inspired word of God. It is the authorized version. It contains has been convicted of and proven to contain 20,000 translating errors. Other than that, yeah, I suppose it's a great version. Now, we stand at the dais of Christ to be requited, to be adjusted. No judgment there. However, those dead who all through time, as I described for you yesterday, look at yesterday's video, when I tell you who is standing there, they are judged. And they're judged according to one thing. They're not judged according to their faith. They're judged according, let me just read it. And I perceived the dead, the great and the small, standing, verse 12, before the throne. Scrolls were opened. Another scroll was opened, which is the scroll of life. And the dead were judged by that which is written in the scrolls in accord with their acts. They're not judged in accord with their faith because none of the people here had faith in Jesus Christ. Not even Job had faith in Jesus Christ. Why? For the obvious reason that Job lived before Jesus Christ. Did Adam have faith in the cross of Christ? No, he didn't. Couldn't have. Impossible. But was Job a good guy? Great guy. How about Adam? Good guy? Aside from that little mistake in the garden that condemned the entire human race. Yeah, he was a decent guy. So was his wife. I'll stand up for this couple, but I don't have to, because the great judge will stand up for them. Adam and Eve were banished from the garden, and I believe they started an auto body shop. They were very honest people, and they were famous around the world for fair dealing. Fair dealing. They learned their lesson. They were good people. So your friends and your relatives who don't believe, they're not in the body of Christ, they don't align themselves with Israel, they don't do nothing, but they're good people. Your aunt, your uncle, your grandmother, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, they're good people for the most part. They're not career criminals. They're judged according to their acts. It's true they missed the 1,000-year kingdom, but people think that's unfair. How can they miss the 1,000-year kingdom? Ask God when you see them. They just freaking miss it, okay? It's 1,000 years. Whoop-dee-doo. And besides that, the dead don't know anything. So if your friends or your relatives are dead now, or they died during the tribulation, or you help them through the tribulation and they make it, they go through that tunnel into the actual millennium, they might live through the millennium. They might die there. It's a pleasant death in the millennium. I mean, people that are 100 are still considered youths. Anyway, there's no sensation in death, no passage of time. The people who missed 1,000 years don't realize they missed 1,000 years. They wake up at the great white throne and they say, hey, when's 1,000 years start? No, when's 1,000 years start? No. Well, I want 1,000 years. Oh, sorry, but it's just passed. Just passed. Yeah, how can it be? Because there's no passage of time. There's no consciousness in death. So just boom, like that. Don't feel sorry for these people. So they're judged according to their acts. Those whose names are written in the book of life, they don't go to the lake of fire. They go onto the new earth. That's the only place for them. I'll get into that tomorrow. But right now, I want to talk about the judgment. Who's sitting on the throne? Jesus Christ is enthroned. He's the ultimate judge. What are we? We're members of the body of Christ. We have the authority of Christ. If you want to put it this way, hold on to your hats. We are Christ's. Christ is Jesus' title. It's anointed. Back in the day, right, they put that special olive oil mixture, whatever it was, whatever else in there, oregano, spices, whatever, and they anointed kings and priests, or kings and prophets, or kings and something. But it's anointing. It's like, you're special. Ding! We are anointed to act with the authority by the power invested in me. Jesus Christ says, by the power invested in me, I now give this power to you. Well, shouldn't be unusual to think about, because Jesus said to Peter, when Peter was on earth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. In other words, I'm going to give you my authority in the kingdom. You will be acting in my stead. Your word is my word. Whatever you say goes, because that's what I say. When Jesus was on earth, he said, I can do nothing except what the Father does. Well, why should that be unusual? Jesus Christ was the image of the invisible God. He was worthy to take the titles of God, worthy to take the power of God. He has the authority of God. He has the seal of approval of God. And God just says, this is my son. Jesus said, if you've heard me, you've heard the Father. Case closed, okay? I speak the Father's words. You don't need to go to him. You're here with me and him. We're on the same page. So we're going to be on the exact same page with Christ. People wonder, how can Jesus Christ be on the earth and in heaven at the same time? He's going to be chief priest according to the order of Melchizedek during the 1,000 years, but he's also going to be the celestial king. Well, David is going to carry out his wishes. David will be king, Christ will be priest, but even as Christ as priest can delegate responsibility to others, and it can still be said Christ is ruling in Jerusalem. Well, how can you say that? Because I just saw him in the celestial realm. Well, he's ruling through David. He's exercising priestly duties through whoever. Maybe Melchizedek himself. Well, Melchizedek himself could be raised. Not an Israelite, though. Right. So probably won't be. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, is it a crazy thought, seeing as how the Apostle Paul says that we, as members of the body of Christ, will be judging angels? Concordant version, messengers. Do you hear me? We shall be judging angels. It is my firm belief, ladies and gentlemen, even though I do not have a specific scripture that says members of the body of Christ will be executing the judgment at the great white throne, at the behest of Christ, and with all the authority granted to Christ, which he then gave to them. I don't have a verse that says that. I do have a verse we'll be judging that says we'll be judging angels. Some of them very powerful. We'll be more powerful. We'll be at the right hand of God. That's kind of the most powerful, influential place in the universe. Sorry, angels. I believe that we will be judging. We will be the judges. Jesus Christ sits on the throne. Yeah, let's read it again. I perceive the dead, the great white throne, him who was sitting upon it, from whose face heaven and earth fled. No place was found for them. That's a figure of speech, too. Heaven and earth didn't like have legs like the Flintstones. And like, scamper off. It's all figurative language for a real thing. There is no earth at the time. It's been destroyed. And scrolls were open. Another scroll was open. Scroll of life. And the dead were judged. That's all it says. The dead were judged. It doesn't specifically say that the one on the throne judged. But of course he does. But he does it through his agents. He does it through us. And I told Manfred Jones one day. Thus, we get finally to the title of this video at the end of the show. I said, Manfred Jones. I said, who's one of your favorite entertainers? You know, he said, Beyonce. I said, cool. Beyonce in the body of Christ? No. Well, Beyonce's going to rise at the great white throne to be judged, yeah? Manfred Jones, will judge Beyonce. You know what Manfred said? He said, oh, come on, Manfred, I can't believe it. He was, like, embarrassed. But that's the beauty of this man. I know this guy. Manfred Jones, what do you mean? It's Manfred. Come on, get a clue. Everything's going to be switched around. The first will be last, and the last will be first. Beyonce's first. Oh, she's famous. She's a celebrity. And if you saw her here in Fort Lauderdale, you would say, oh my God, there's Beyonce. Yeah, probably we all would. But at the great white throne, my friend, Beyonce will be saying, oh my God, there's Manfred Jones. Oh my God, there's Manfred Jones. And she will bow down to you. I told him that. Beyonce will bow down to you. Oh, what are you talking about? Manfred. Joseph's brothers bowed down to him. He had a dream of great glory. We don't have a dream of glory. We have a promise of glory. All the greats of this earth are going to be laid low. The chiefs of this eon are being discarded, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Manfred, of course you're going to judge Beyonce. Beyonce's going to be quaking in her 5-inch heels when you show up, judging as an anointed one, as a Christ. Yeah. And I told you, I've claimed many people for myself. I said, Lord, please give me that person at the Great White Throne. I've claimed the Beatles. I've claimed Judy Garland. I've claimed everybody at the cemetery here at the Lauderdale Cemetery. I've claimed every one of those. I've claimed many other people. Somebody smiles at me while I'm running. I said, Lord, please give me that person at the Great White Throne. They will have a friend in Zender at the Great White Throne. Yes, they'll have a friend in me. I'll wink at him and they'll go, I remember you. Yeah, you smiled at me. That was nice. But I'm also going to be nice to my enemies, my worst enemies who hate me. They're going to be at the Great White Throne because they're not believers. And they're going to be quaking when they see me, just like Joseph's brothers quaked when they saw him. It's like, oh my God, I'm sorry, Martin. I never would have done it if I knew you were so great. What? But here I am. I am great because of Christ, what Christ has done, what Christ has promised me. Here I am. But like Joseph and his brothers, I'm going to maybe torture him for a while, going to make him uncomfortable, going to make him squirm. Then I'm going to embrace them, bring them into my arms and say, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. Oh, is that going to be a great thing? I think Beyonce's going to like it. Meeting the runner.